baby.
Fevzy. The gadget detective is here. God bless you, my brother. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Hanging in there. Still acting, still pretending like everything's okay, hoping that one day it will be Fevzy. We're going to talk about tech. You got some good stuff for us today?
Yep, I have. I thought we'd just touch on something that isn't gadget related, but is that big news story of the judgment against Meta and Google.
So just to let you know, we're planning something on that for Monday, because there will be serious repercussions. Just read it out the way that you see it, because it was quite complicated, because it wasn't 100%, was it?
Well, nothing's ever 100%, but I think there are some points in this that have been missed. So let me just sort of precede the story. So this is a case that was brought by a plaintiff known as Kaylee, and this case has been going for about 3 years, and it's one of a number of bellwether cases that have been going for 3 or 4 years. So they're all now starting to come to trial. And this was the first one, and it was decided by a jury, and the jury found in favour of the plaintiff and against Meta, which Meta and also Google. So this is important, because normally these platforms are immune from court cases because they have what's called Section 230 protection, which means that they can't be held to be the publisher. So even if the content is harmful, they're not held to be the publisher of it in the way that, say, a magazine or a newspaper would be. And they fight and invest a lot of money in politics to make sure that exemption holds. These cases are unique because they don't rely on the content being harmful. They have alleged, and now successfully alleged, that these social media companies have taken steps that are harmful by design. And the point, so the plaintiff won. She was awarded $3 million. That $3 million is not a lot of money for the types of harm that she was alleging, but I think it's a reflection of the fact that there were other things in her family life that were also thought to be contributory. So there was a troubled family background as well, and this was part of it, but it wasn't the only thing. So that's why it's $3 million. Now, the bit that I think a lot of reporting is not focusing sufficiently on is the fact that, as well as $3 million in compensatory damages, they've now awarded, it's reported, a further $3 million in punitive damages. Now, punitive damages in the American system are designed to punish a company. So it is when their behavior goes beyond negligence. And in California, where this case was heard, for punitive damages to be applicable, the company must be guilty of malice, oppression, or fraud. So this is essentially that it goes well beyond negligence. The jury's view is that they did it on purpose. And that's really serious, because that will be much harder if that stands on appeal. And I'm sure these companies will appeal.
Yes.
If it stands on appeal, and it's not to do with the money, $6 million is neither here nor there. But if it stands on appeal, it will make it much harder for them to prevail in the other cases. And there are more than 2,400 of these cases. Some of them are brought by individuals like this case. Some of them are brought by school districts who are suing companies like Meta because they are alleging that they're having to pick up the pieces of the harm caused by these products.
Bellwether, by its very nature, means there are lots of people looking at it to see how this goes, to see if they're doing. I mean, we're looking for a London example in order to do it on the show on Monday. And didn't some others kind of pay in advance?
Yeah, so TikTok settled in advance. But that doesn't make them immune. It makes them immune from this particular judgment. But their problem now is, you know, at least one jury has held that they've designed things maliciously without regard to the safety issues that they're causing, particularly, but not only to children.
Are they one and the same? To be malicious and to not take regard of it sounds like they could be. I could argue in a court of law that that is different.
Yeah, it is. So negligence is not to take regard of, but this goes beyond that. So it's not just that they hosted bad content, but they are responsible for their own allegedly addictive design choices and their failure to warn. And that's why there was punitive damages awarded. Now, the amount of punitive damages, although it's been set at $3 million by the jury, is actually up to the judge to finally decide that. And again, that will be pushed back again, not because of the financial amount, but because of the precedent that it sets. But I think now, I think that, you know, we may look back on this, on yesterday's verdict as being a very important day in the history. What was really interesting, I thought, was that one of the allegations that was made by the plaintiff's team was that the techniques that were being used by social media companies were borrowed from gambling slot machines and cigarette companies. You know, the sort of...
So I'm listening to you, as I do, because I still don't understand how you have a better voice than me. And it feels very much like a description of what happened with tobacco, cancer and cigarettes.
Yeah, I think that there are some parallels. I don't think it's a perfect analogy, but yes, there are some parallels. I think the harms are more difficult to prove. You know, the cancer thing was... You know, obviously, it took a while to do it. The problem, I think, and the difference here is that I don't think this problem can be solved purely by court cases. It needs an American administration in particular, and also other administrations in Europe and elsewhere, to actually regulate based on the findings of these judgments. And the reason why I say that is because, unlike cigarette technology, which doesn't really change much, you know, there's a slow moving technology. Social media technology is very fast moving. And if it takes 4 years, as it can do, for a matter to be heard and then decided upon, in 4 years, the internet and social media look very, very different. And the harms and the risks that are being endured during those 4 years will not be dealt with, but at least for another 4 years. So, that's the difference. Okay, this is a harder problem to crack, and the social media companies are actually more wealthy than those other two groups as well. So I think it is problematic, but I think it's a really, really important day, and I think it would behove these companies to actually listen to this verdict instead of spending their mega bucks on trying to push back against this verdict. They would be wiser to start making changes to their algorithm and their design and actually put safety at the beginning of it. If this was a drug that had to be marked, well, it is.
But it is.
If it was a physical drug, yes. But if it was a drug that was a pill in a bottle, the amount of testing and the safety that they would have to prove, they would have to prove it is safe before they can bring it to the public. But this is, you know, this is a difficult one because, first of all, as I say, it's fast moving. And secondly, it's not like cigarettes where there's no real upside to them. You know, there are upsides to social media if it's done right, but not if it's done in a way that keeps people addicted. I mean, we had the head of Instagram early in this trial. I don't know if you remember, but he was alleging that if someone spends 16 hours a day on their platform, that wasn't necessarily indicative of addiction. And although clinically it may not be, in practice it is, because it then goes on to meet all the criteria for addiction, like withdrawing from family and friends, not doing the things that you normally do, becoming unreliable. Of course, if you're spending 16 hours a day on social media, of course, all those things will flow from it. So they tried to make the technical argument, but it doesn't rely on proving addiction to prove harm. And what this jury found, that harm was caused. It wasn't the only cause, but it was an important one. It also held that of the harm that was attributed to the two defendants, 70% of the harm was allocated to Meta and 30% to Google's YouTube.
Yeah, I'd be a lot more on this. I'm glad you've done it for us. As I say, it's something that we're looking at for Monday because we know there'll be repercussions. Now, we need to get to today. We need to get to where we are. And as always, it's fifth gear, foot down, full steam ahead.
Okay, so second one is a gadget. So it's from a company called Aqara, A-Q-A-R-A. They do home cameras and hubs and smart gadgets, basically. This is something called a smart camera hub G350. It's literally only been out for a few days. I've got one. I've been playing with it. It's a indoor home security camera. It's got two lenses. One is a 4K camera lens and the other one is 2K. In combination, they provide a 9x zoom. But what's really nice about the camera is it does pan, tilt and zoom. So it looks like a little rabbit. It's literally got ears like a rabbit, this thing. You can take the ears off if you don't like them. But it looks like the two lenses. I know.
You said it.
I can't believe I have to say that. Because I don't know that I would want the ears on it myself. It's just security cameras shouldn't draw attention to themselves, in my opinion, and therefore rabbit ears would not be my choice, but it's just a rubber sleeve that can be pulled off it very easily. But the two lenses look like eyes, and it's not an accident, because when you hit privacy mode, for example, the lenses swivel upwards and you see sleeping eyes, and the mouth is a memory card slot. So actually, it's very cutely designed. The one place where I would leave the ears on is if you use it in your infant's bedroom to keep an eye on them remotely, because it can also detect crying sounds. So it's actually a very sophisticated baby monitor as well. So look, this is a 4K camera, pan, tilt, zoom. It can auto track an animal or a person moving across. It recognizes faces and gestures. It works with, and this is a big thing about Aqara, it works with just about everything. So normally if you buy a Google Nest camera, then it only works with the Google Nest system, for example. This works with Apple HomeKit, it works with Alexa, it works with Google Home, it works with smart things as well. So it's really very good in that sense. It sort of can be the glue between all these different types of incompatible gadgets. £139.99, 4 stars out of 5. Moving on to the last thing. Next Tuesday, the 31st of March, the day before April Fool's Day, is World Backup Day. And it's always a day before April Fool's Day, because you're a fool if you don't back up. So this is the way that they hope you'll remember it. And, you know, the World Backup Day has been going for about 14 years now. And it's basically reminding people that 21% of people have never made a backup. In the United States, 113 phones are stolen every minute. 29% of 29 data loss cases, and 10 to 20% are on consumer PCs. So all of this is a big problem. You know, ransomware attacks. I don't know if you know about ransomware, but ransomware is a type of virus, if you like, that infects a computer. And what it does is it silently scrambles all your information held inside your computer on any drives attached to it, and then it ransoms it back to you. It says if you want your data back, then you're going to have to pay, you know, £1,000 worth of bitcoins, for example. And it usually is in bitcoins, so that the payment can't be traced. So the advice is, the backup rule is 3-2-1. You should have at least 3 copies of your data, including the original, stored on 2 different media types. So it doesn't count if you store it on the same hard disk is inside your computer, because if your computer goes, then your copy goes. So one of them would be inside the computer, or your phone or your tablet. The other one would be on typically on an external drive attached to it. And the third one would be in another location, which could be cloud backup, or it could be a copy. So it's very important just to back up. We've looked at it before, but there's a drive from a company called Kioxia, K-I-O-X-I-A. It's called the Xeria Plus G2. And the reason why I point to this is it's one of the few drives that haven't gone up.
Can I just tell you something very quickly? I know you're in a rush. I bought two. I bought the last one. You know, I gave one to my wife and I got one for myself. I haven't taken it out of the box yet. This is how you got me spending money. So did you say backup day or black up day? Backup day, right? So we're going to get that and we're going to sort it out. So how do you use it? Can I just hear that?
So both Windows and Mac OS have got backup software built into them. So if you wanted to be flash, you'd go and buy something like Acronis, but you don't need to. Your operating system already has backup software built into it. So if you've got Windows, you can just use that to do the backup. And you use it by just backing up the files that you want. You can either back up and make an image of the complete computer that you can reinstate, or you can say, these are my most important files. What you need to think about is what can you not afford to lose? If you lost your computer or your phone today, what would be on it? You know, what would it be? And it can be, you know, I always say this, and one of the most heartbreaking things I deal with is where, you know, people have lost pictures of loved ones, particularly ones that have departed. It's just a terrible thing. So World Backup Day is on Tuesday. Please go and buy a drive. The Kioxia one is good. There are others. The reason I mention it is that although the 1 terabyte one has gone up from £60 to £100, because, you know, all these drives are going up now because the AI data centers are pushing up the prices for the rest of us, the 2 terabyte drive is still £135. I noticed on Amazon that they're being sold by third-party resellers. That is okay as long as you make sure that it is fulfilled by Amazon. So as long as Amazon is actually sending out the order, the reason why that's important is that way you still have Amazon's unquestioning returns policy. Whereas if it is sold by a third party and fulfilled by a third party on Amazon, then you're dependent upon their policy, which may or may not be as generous.
Brilliant. Let's go.
That's it.
Finished.
All done.
I'm not used to that.
You said be quick.
Yeah, but you've done it for 2 years. You've never been quick before. We're going to look. You're going to get a call.
I think we should probably go to couples counselling.
I don't know. I'm trying to work out. Anyway, I'll tell you something about couples another day. I'm probably going to get somebody to call you called Pina tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you to voice 2 or 3 things that people might want to consider for the backup day, and then we'll play it out. Does Perfect. That make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're a good man, no matter what they say about you. What's the podcast?
Gadgetdetective.com.
You're a good man. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Have a good Easter. This is BBC Radio London.